Thank you. How's everybody? We just want to welcome Greg and Caroline Moore. Please put your hands together for them. So Caroline leads our worship in Fremantle, and Greg is the chairperson of the C3 board. So he's my boss. So I gotta do well, eh? You know, when you're. And it's great, you know. Sundays come every Sunday, you know. Sundays come all the time, and I just want to encourage everybody that it's really nice to hear the things that God is doing in people's lives. And the truth is that you and I experience God differently. And the reason I know that is because we're all different. We have different personalities. And so what we want to be able to do is to showcase to each other how God is working in our lives. And it's like putting a diamond up and then reflecting the light on it. We can all see different colors based on whatever angle we're coming from. And also, it tells me that I should never compare myself to somebody else, because there is something unique about me. And if I do that, then I'm robbing other people of your experience of who God is. Amen? So from today, just allow yourself to be yourself. So last week we launched what our focus for the year 2022 was going to be. And in case you missed it, our focus was discipleship and evangelism. And what we said is that, and I just want to unpack that a bit more, Connect Groups is encouraging everybody to meet together in community, doing life together. And then we're going to encounter God through our worship experience. Next week, Sunday, is our Encourage message series, and this is an opportunity where it'll be lots of worship, but also it's going to be an opportunity where we're going to provide for people to be able to, if the Lord speaks, we might start, you know, praying for people, speaking into people's lives, the words perhaps that God would give us, and you know, some would call that prophecy, but we're using the word encourage, so we have that opportunity. So if you have friends, you know, that want to come to church, you never know, you know, how God is going to actually move. And so my encouragement is to invite all your friends to come to church. If they need healing, this is the place to be next week, Sunday. And another, we spoke about last year, we had a meeting with some of the leaders here. And I think we had some stuff that we wrote on the board as to what we are going to do this year. And there was some focus on, we want to ensure that, you know, maybe we might have a barbecue every so often. We're going to have sweet Sundays once a month, or, you know, it seems to be every week so far this year. And the key thing is we are trying to do things so we can connect with our community. But also we spoke last year on that we're going to look to get Port Care was going to come down to Kwinana, and we were going to start giving fruit and vegetables, and I think it's fruit and vegetables and bread, to the community. And how we were going to do that was to make a time available where maybe we open this church one day a week for 1 hour, where people can come and collect fruit and vegetables and bread. And so this is another way that we can connect with our community. Is that good? I think it's a very good thing. And so what I can say to that is, Pastor Charlie, through the grace that is upon him, the grace of God that's upon him, we are now able to get some bread and all that from, I think, Coles. And so what will be happening is that there's going to be two opportunities on Thursdays and on Fridays, where we have the opportunity for those that want to participate and be part of this. Is where, number one, we have to, when we collect the fruit and vegetables and the bread, we have to sort it first. And then once we sort it into packs, then we can then start inviting people to come along and get those packs. Now, we're only going to open this space for 1 hour. So whatever hour we nominate, and that's an opportunity for people to come and to and to get those. And I think that's just, it's another way that we can connect with the people in our community. It's another way that we can let them know that actually we are here and that things are happening in this place. So if you know of anybody that needs bread, Pastor Charlie and I are going to sort of like work out how it's all going to work. So if you come to the volunteers night on Tuesday, we'll unpack that a bit more. And what will need to happen is that there needs to be an orientation so that people know what to do when people come in. And that's really important. So you get a little training, and it's just 1 hour. If you can spare an hour, I think it'll be a very good thing for our community. So every week you come to church, you want to make sure that you have worship. We're going to be consistent. You come every week. We're not going to say you bring your you invite your friend. We want to make sure that when you invite your friends or your bosses from work or whomever it is going to be, that they can come here. There's going to be worship, number one. It'll always be there. Secondly, there's going to be some preaching. We're not going to say, oh, no, there's no preaching this week. Everybody go away. We're going to be consistent. Also, there's going to be Kids Zone, a place where your children and your friends' children can get to be in an environment where they'll learn about the Lord. And I think it's a good environment to be, because we are so bombarded by information every day. We consume perhaps 2 to 3 hours of stuff. And so what we want to do by people coming to Kids Zone is it's that focus that we have on kids getting fed the word of the Lord. Because YouTube does not have any problems in feeding your children stuff. Netflix, they invite it and they ask you to pay, you know, to be able to feed your children stuff. And so this is a Kids Zone, is a place where they can come in, they can get the word of the Lord planted into their heart and seed sown, which are going to grow later on in life. And one of the things I've really felt, especially when I was coming here today, is if you've got young children and they want to get involved in music, make an investment in those kids. Now, the investment is going to be, maybe your kid wants to play the drums, and I'm only not saying that because we don't have a drummer. In fact, I am saying that because we don't have a drummer. But invest, you pay $50 a fortnight, whatever, for the lessons to be a drummer. If they want to sing, if they want to play the guitar, get them into that. And I recall Pastor David in Port Hedland says, you want your children serving in the house of God. Because that way, you know, wherever you go, work might take you to Afghanistan, or it might take you to Port Hedland, or wherever work takes you, your children will always have something to do. And so even if you grow up as an adult, your work might take you to New York, Paris, if you'd like to go there. You know that you can actually go there and serve in whatever house you go to. So my encouragement, if you are interested in music, come and see me, please. Or in fact, no, don't see me. See Mr. Elter. Yes, see Mr. Elter. And we can hopefully, if we can find people who can teach, we can try that. But my encouragement is that invest in your children in things that they will always be able to serve in the house of the Lord. Is that good? I spoke this morning that one of my annoyances on the road is people that don't move when the traffic light goes green. Yes. So annoying. And so they're supposed to be turning left. And normally what you find is that I'm expecting when the light goes green, maybe 10 cars can pull through because everybody's in a rush. We all want to get to work. But the person in front is so distracted that only maybe 3 or 4 cars make it through. And it makes me super frustrated. Like, what's wrong with this person? And if I'm sitting behind the person in front, I could be car number 3 or the second car, the first thing I do, once it goes green, I'm pressing my horn, beep, move. What are you doing? And I know that, is that only me?
It's only me, eh? Yes.
But sometimes the reason why when you get to an intersection, the reason why they're not moving is because they are distracted. Normally that's why maybe they're fumbling into their bags. If it's a lady, they're fumbling in their bags, maybe, you know, looking for makeup, I don't know. And if it's a gentleman, perhaps they're trying to send a text message whilst waiting on the traffic lights. And I wonder, you know, when we get to crossroads, when we get to the intersection in our lives, have you got to a place where you don't know whether you should turn to the right or to the left, and so you're just stuck in that place? There's a time in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 11, it talks about how Isaiah the prophet is having an encounter with the Lord. And it was said that, and I'll read the scripture, it says, "It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. He was attended by mighty seraphim, which are angels, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they're calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.'" Now, that should tell you that was an amazing vision and experience that he had. And so as they sang this song, their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. "Then I said, 'It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' And this is the prophet, and he said, 'I said, Here I am, send me.'" And that is the title of my message today, is "Here I am, send me." And he said, this is the Lord saying, "Go and say to this people, listen carefully but do not understand, watch closely but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. Then I said, 'Lord, how long will this go on?' And he replied, 'Until their towns are empty, their houses are deserted, and the whole country is a wasteland.'" This passage comes at a time in the life of the prophet Isaiah, when a king who had led very successfully, a king who was powerful, the nation was prospering, and everybody's life was doing very well. And then all of a sudden, this king died, and everything now is in turmoil. And it's at this time that he has this encounter with the Lord, where he says, it was in the year that this king died that I saw the Lord. And one of the key things is that he had an encounter with God. And you know what happens is that we can have things going on in our everyday life where everything is going well one day, and then all of a sudden, things just start unraveling. Things start going bad for us. The key thing in all of this is to recognize that God is on the throne, and when we encounter stuff, we need to take heart and recognize that no matter what is going on around me, the Lord is still sitting on his throne. Amen? And so he has this encounter. He sees all these things, and because he has seen God, he is now fearful for his life. And maybe when you see God, you also see yourself. And when you see yourself, you recognize that there is something about me that just does not match up to the person that I can see. And so he looks up, he reflects upon his life, and he starts to say to himself, "I am a sinner. There is something wrong with me. I live amongst sinners." But the first thing that he did was he confessed his own sin. When you encounter God, there's no point of you being in the presence of the Lord. And what this teaches us is a framework where if you are having trouble, let's just say with your, if you're married with your partner, if you're not, it could be with your boss or somebody that is close and special to you, and you're having problems with them, you don't get up there whilst you're spending time with the Lord, whilst praying, and then say, Lord, I just pray that you would work on my husband. There's something wrong with him. Or that you would pray, you would work on my wife. The first thing he said is, woe is me. Before it was somebody else. And so the focus of your prayers, even though you have some dramas with, it could be with your husband or with your wife, the first thing is to always look upon your own heart. And that is what Isaiah is teaching us, that woe is me. And so he confessed his own sin before he announced any other woes on somebody else. He spoke about himself, and then he spoke about the nation. And that is the framework for us. Whenever we get to spend time with the Lord, we're not saying, Father, I just pray that you would help Pastor Onami, that she would just continue to keep the house clean and to do all those things that I want done in the house. But the Lord is saying, no, I need to deal with me. Because maybe if the Lord changes me, then those issues will not be an issue. Whatever you're dealing with your spouse, whatever issue you have, is that as you encounter the Lord, maybe the problem 50% of the time is you. So as you deal with him, as you deal with God yourself, that might fix your situation. Before you start putting your partner out on the altar to be sacrificed to the Lord. And the key thing is that when things are not looking good in your life, this time was a time where it was bleak. You know, whenever a new, just like us, we understand that when a new politician comes in as prime minister or as premier of the state, all of it, we start to wonder, ooh, how is the economy going to go? And normally whenever they bring in somebody new, the share markets either can go up or they can go down. Because it's a period of uncertainty. If you work for a company, whenever they change the CEO, there tends to be a lot of anxiety around that place because people don't know what is the company going to continue to be fruitful. So you can understand the context that Isaiah was, why he would have been troubled, because it's a new king that they had. The old king Uzziah is dead and his son has risen up in his place. There was lots of uncertainty. We are living in times where there's lots of uncertainty. I don't know what changes they're going to bring in tomorrow. In fact, we do know with the whole COVID issue, things are slowly but surely changing. It might, in fact, they said yesterday there were more cases, 219 cases. So I'm assuming that if the cases continue to increase, what's going to happen? The lockdowns are going to get stricter and stricter and stricter. And that is turning our lives upside down, where we can now become very unsettled. But the key thing we need to remember is that when the outlook is bleak, when we don't know what's happening in our families, in our lives, we need to try the outlook. We need to look to the Lord. We need to recognize that the fact that God is on the throne, we need to take comfort in that. Amen? Amen. Because it's not Uzziah, the king was not on the throne. He was dead. He was no longer there, but God was there and God remained in charge. And that is where we take our comfort and encouragement from. After his encounter, where he dealt with, you know, there's always an opportunity that we provide for people to come to know the Lord. He encountered the Lord, and then from there, God commissioned him. And he said, whom should I send, and who will go for us? And the thing that you have to know is that it always starts with encountering God. Then once you've encountered him, you are in a relationship with him, then he will send you out to go and do things. It was, he said, here I am, send me. He was sent by God to a specific people to speak specific words. Isaiah's eyes were open to the need that was prevalent because the people were far away from the Lord. But also understand that it's not just about God thinking about you. He also wants a person who recognizing that God wants to send somebody to the people. He wants somebody to minister. Now, the person that for us today that God wants to talk to, when he says this year is our year of making disciples of people, it is not just the special elect, the people that are in the worship team, the people that come on stage, or the people that are at the back. It's all of us that God is calling each and every one of us to go and make disciples of the nations. And the God's pattern is always to start with one person. It's not to start with many. We've spoken about God, as we read last week in 2 Corinthians 5, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representing him. He has given us all his authority. And because of that, countries normally send one person to represent the interests of all the people in that country. So you and I are people that are representative, that are being called by God to go out and do things on behalf of other people. So he chose Abraham, one person. He chose Moses. He chose Paul. There are many people in the scriptures that he chose, and it all started with one person. And for us, it's going to be you. For you today, in whatever area, you could be in school, and God is just going to want to do things in your life, in your workplace. The pattern, what we want to do is to be people who take the kingdom of God and the principles of the kingdom into our workplace. We want to take, you know, when you read the book of Daniel, those guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all they did, and Daniel, in their everyday lives, they represented the Lord by the way they conducted themselves. So in your workplace, there is something different about you. There is your conduct that people are going to look to say there is something different about that person. If you're in a, you know, for those who are accountants, sometimes you go to organizations and they might ask you to, you know, maybe tweak the accounts a little bit so that it looks favorable. And so what you do as a man, as a woman of God, is no, I don't do those kind of things. I keep things in the straight and narrow. And sometimes you might have to leave your job. If you leave your job because people expect you to cut corners. I have friends, you know, people that I know that have been asked to maybe alter some things so that it looks favorable, but they've chosen to say, how do I face the Lord if I was to go through with my action? So in our workplace, we are people that do the right thing. We are men and women of integrity. So God is sending not just Abraham and Paul, they've run their race, but he's sending us. And so never underestimate what God can do with one willing person. Are you willing for God to do something in your life? So don't underestimate that. Don't say that, oh, I'm too old, therefore I cannot do anything, or I'm too young, I cannot do anything. In fact, just after we left Fremantle, I was speaking to one of our sisters there in Fremantle, and she said to me, you know, you've been telling us that we're ambassadors, and I've been doing that. They had a friend of hers that had a miscarriage, and so what she started to do was to step out and say, just want to let you know that we're praying for you, that God is going to be there for you. And so that's it, that you take the principles of the kingdom and begin to encourage other people. And she had said to herself, I'm too old, is this for me to do? So you're never too old, and you're never too young. You just have to be willing to step out and see what the Lord will do with your life. If you want to see God move in your life, you should not question your giftedness, or you should not question, or you shouldn't have issues with your self-image or yourself, the way that you perceive yourself. You become so self-conscious, and so you won't do anything because of that. It's like the person that should be turning, but because they are distracted, they don't turn, and everybody behind them is getting frustrated. And it's like the Lord is behind us saying, C3 Wellard, what I'm saying to you is that the traffic light is green. I need you to move. But if we have things where the way that we look at ourselves, we have a poor self-image, we are never going to make the move. because we will always doubt, is this the Lord that's really working, or is it just my mind that's saying do this? If we have those things that, if I've got self-esteem or self-consciousness issues, the Lord is going to speak to me and say, go and say something to that person over there. And the first thing I will say is that, now surely that cannot be the Lord. And guess what I do? I don't do it. And the thing is that both of us, you've just robbed two people. You've robbed yourself of experiencing the blessing of God in somebody else's life, and you've robbed that other person of receiving whatever it is, because you don't know what people are going through. People are going through a whole lot of stuff, and so maybe your world is going to encourage and build somebody up. And so these issues of a poor self-image are like a cork on a wine bottle, or even better, a champagne bottle, because it's nice and fizzy. So if you put a cork on a champagne bottle, the contents cannot get out. And that's what we're like. We can have issues that become a cork in our life that stop the flow of God from taking place. And I have, Elton, if you can come and just start playing as we are about to finish. A quote from a book called As a Man Thinketh. Because if you think you can't, well, the truth is that you can't. And you won't. And this is, James Allen says, this little volume, the result of meditation and experience, is not intended as an exhaustive treatise on the much written upon subject of the power of thought. It is suggestive rather than explanatory, its object being to stimulate men and women to the discovery and perception of the truth that they, which is you and I, themselves are makers of themselves by virtue of the thoughts which they choose and encourage. That mind is the master weaver both of the inner garment of character and the outer garment of circumstance. And that as they may have in the past woven in ignorance and pain, they may now weave in enlightenment and happiness. Which means that if my thinking is poor, that, oh, Lord, I don't think you can work through me, or I'm a bit too old, or I'm a bit too young, then guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing will happen. But it's telling us that we are the ones that have the ability to change that, because we are makers of ourselves by the thoughts that we think and choose and encourage. So if you've got thoughts that say, oh, I don't think that's me, I think that's not the Lord, surely God can't be speaking to me, then you need to get rid of those thoughts. And how you get rid of them is by thinking that, saying this to yourself, now you might have to go through some affirmations, I hear the word of the Lord. As you read your scriptures, you have to start affirming those things, because faith comes by hearing. And as you begin to speak out those things, all of a sudden you will start to believe the things that you say. And sometimes you might have to write things down 50 times, and every time you go to bed, you are repeating those things. I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God. Because maybe the first time you say it, you may not believe it. But after a while, all of a sudden you're changing the way that you think, that it becomes a belief. That if anything comes against you, what you say is that I am a child of God, and because of that, I can access the blessings of being a child of God. Amen. So the best ability is availability. Moses, when he was called, when he was doing his normal job of tending the sheep and goats or whatever he was doing, he encountered God. He encountered God, and then God commissioned him. But Moses began to query, oh, surely I've got this stammering issue. I can't speak properly. And he was trying to disqualify himself. And we're saying, all you need to do is to say, Lord, here I am, send me, I am able. And God is the one that will equip you to be able to do those things. Amen? And so Isaiah had this issue. Sometimes we say, Lord, we're just going to go and maybe speak to somebody and they're going to hear. But this scripture tells us that sometimes, even though we put our best foot forward, we speak to people, it just won't drop. The penny will not drop that they need to come to the Lord. And Isaiah is saying, Lord, how long will this go on where people are not coming to know you? And then the Lord says, until. And for me, that tells me that we have to keep on taking the word of the Lord to people, the truth of God, until God does something in their lives. So it's not a one-time thing. It's something that we're going to be doing each and every time we have the opportunity. This is just like this port care thing that we're doing. We're not just going to do it once and then expect this church to be full. It's going to be something we're going to do over and over and over again. Because the thing we're saying to our community is that we love you and we want to bless you. And the key, and what you have to understand, you see, is that somebody cultivated a relationship that has allowed them to be given access to these fruit and vegetables so that they can bless somebody else. And it's a continuous thing that we're going to do for our community. And so the test of our ministry is not outward success, but it's our faithfulness to God. It's our faithfulness to the Lord. You might be thinking, oh, how long am I going to keep doing this? And sometimes you may not see results. And the key thing is that you keep doing it over and over again. The most important thing is that you're doing it because of faithfulness to God. Because the Lord has whispered something to you. And you take action based on what He has done. And you will see the results of what the Lord wants to work through your life. Not through the person that's next to you. Yes, He wants to work through them. But don't disqualify yourself. Don't say, look, my background does not permit me to do this. But just to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Wherever there's a need, that should be the cry of our heart is, here I am, send me. So if you can all stand this morning.